What's up, fellas?
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Armor, hosted by
Joe,
Russ,
and yours truly, Big Brother Boone. Before we get into another exciting episode, let me share some things with you. We are so grateful that our listening audience, those of you around the table, made Inside the Armor number one for the week of August 29th through September 4th on Elite Conversations podcast.
Wow. Yeah, that's what's up.
We couldn't have done it without you. We certainly appreciate Elite Conversations. And if you need help with being an entrepreneur, driving your business, career, or life, check them out at EliteConversations.com. The knowledge management company. The power of conversation drives business.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Man, yeah, thank you. I didn't even know that information, Big Brother Boone. That blesses me, man. I'm humbled by that stat. Thank you, listeners. Definitely appreciate that.
We appreciate all of you sitting around the table, as we say, and the fact that you've invited others to sit around the table. We don't take that for granted because there are a whole lot of other options. But we appreciate that what we are saying has resonated with you and your friends, and we are so grateful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good morning, gentlemen. Another bright morning. I'm excited to hear what the creator has laid out for us in terms of a topic. Brother Joe, I know you have had a topic come to your spirit, and I'm anxious to hear how the topic came to your spirit.
All right, cool, man. Thank you. Sure. Yeah. So, as you mentioned before, Russ, there's God comes to me at certain times, especially somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning when he speaks to me and wakes me up, and he'll either have me praying or he'll have me working on something like you mentioned, working on something on myself. But I was listening to a recording by one of my mentors, Dr. Miles Monroe. And he was talking about vision. And so in that vision topic, the Holy Spirit said to me, can you be trusted? And then, you know, I sat back and I'm like, can I be trusted? He said, can you be trusted? And then he said specifically, with your faith, with your family, and with your finances. And so that thing spoke to me so strongly, man, that I wanted to be able to sit down and talk to you guys about it because, man, that can you be trusted part made me think about all the things that God has given me and what have I done with it? You know, the gifts that he's given me, the talents that he's given me, the finances that he's given me. So, you know, I think this is going to end up being a three-parter, man, and because... Yeah. Each one of these we could talk about for at least a month.
Good gracious.
No doubt.
Yeah, I feel you.
But finances, you know, we'll start with finance, even though faith is important and even though family is important, but finances is the thing that comes to mind today. So
you would start with finances.
Yeah.
Ouch. I hear Boone saying, "Ouch." Start with finance.
Right. I hear Boone saying, "Ouch, Joe."
Yes.
Now, you talk about pain points. Let me go get the Advil because I just feel it coming on.
Hang on, folks.
I feel it coming on.
That's funny, man.
And that's real, man. It is a pain point. Man, it has been a pain point for many years for me. You know, living paycheck to paycheck before, you know,
right.
I'll talk about where I am now, but before living paycheck to paycheck and, you know, having more month of bills left than I had money and trying to figure out where I was going to get it from, or, you know, it was a struggle for many years. And so I've come to learn some of the principles of finances, which God lays out pretty specifically. And those principles are the things that helped me get past where I was. So, anyway, That's where I am with it, man. And Russ, I know this is right down your alley because finances is your call. Yeah. And me and Boone, we have had many conversations, and finances is something that we are continually working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Works in progress.
Works in progress.
Works in progress, man. See, yeah. I did it again.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's right. No, I agree, man. Finances, when you had mentioned the topic, can you be trusted? And I actually questioned myself, you know, because I love it when I'm challenged with a question like that. And I look at myself and I'm like, you know, can you, like, you know, who can your wife trust you? Can your family trust you? But in particular, you know, I said, can God trust me with money? So if God blesses me with money,
yeah,
can he trust that I am going to, use the money wisely? And you guys heard me say this over the years, you know, when it comes to money, that is probably one of the places in my life that I pay close attention to. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, Joe, you know, when you're blessed with certain things, and I've been blessed with the talent to work, I've been blessed with the talent to save, blessed with the talent to not frivolously spend, you know, I've been there when my early 20s, and I have not been there since. But, you know, at the same time, can God trust me with my finances? And then again, that trickles down to my wife. You know, can my wife trust me with the money that I'm not out here spending in it? And more importantly, how we look at retirement.
Yes, sir.
I just popped another Advil. That's what's up. So,
cricket, I know. Oh, man, that's funny.
So that's what's up.
Yeah.
But really, the point about God being able to trust us, you know what I always say, fellas, if you can't manage a dime, he's not going to bless you with a dollar.
Yeah, man. Amen.
So, say that. You know, my thing is, and it goes back to our previous episode,
mm-hmm.
having someone to hold you accountable about your finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a purpose behind our finances,
mm-hmm.
and also wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up! Woo. Wake up!
You need wisdom to be able to handle your finances.
Yeah.
And truth be told, it's not our money anyway.
It's not.
That's we right. are only right. stewards.
Right.
We yeah. manage the money. We manage God's money, or at least we attempt to manage God's money. It's not our money.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. That's a great reminder.
It's a great point, man, because you spend so much time thinking that this money is yours, you mm-hmm. know, and people and I'll speak for myself. I have held on to it so tightly that God couldn't bless me with anything else because my hands were closed all around what he had given me.
Mm.
And so, you know, like I said, learning the principles of finances is the thing that really will takes you to the next level. And, you know, when we learned about tithing at church, so I wasn't a big tither before because I wasn't even in church before.
Right.
But when I learned about tithing and the importance of it and the rules behind it that God had given us, you know, in the book of Malachi in 3:8, it talks about it's titled, Don't Rob God.
Right.
And when you talk, it says, you know, if you return to me, before that it says, return to me and I will return to you. And then the question is, will a man rob God?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how am I robbing God? And so when that started to set in, it's like, okay, learning about tithing and the importance of that. And even if you're not a churchgoer, even if you're not somebody who is under the covering of a ministry, you still should. So that tithing piece is like, the first 10%, the first fruits of your income should go to helping others. And the reason it goes to help others is because there are others that there's so many people out there that are hurting and don't have anything. And God has blessed you with an abundance, even mm-hmm. if you're making $5 an hour. is more than somebody who's making nothing an hour, right? I'm saying it's just, and when we think about it, so then the question comes in, what do you do with a dollar? Mm-hmm. You get a dollar, earn a dollar, what do you do with that dollar? And this is something that we should be teaching our kids. And that,
you know, right on point, my brother.
Man, that thing is burning hot. You know, my pants are on fire. So I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. No, but you said something key. You said, what do you, and I do believe that God, and I think we could talk for hours on scriptures mm-hmm. pertaining to finances. And I used to always, wonder why God put so much emphasis on that. But I understand because when it comes to money and finances, it at least the way that I was brought up, it doesn't make you better than anyone else. Being mm-hmm. rich doesn't make you better. It only gives you more options. And right. what I've learned as a 56-year-old man is that the more money I make and the more money that I save and I invest and so forth, only gives me and my family more options, options, clothes, retirement, housing, what I eat, where I go, but more importantly, how I serve. Mm-hmm. I look mm-hmm. at my father now who's in retirement and, just recently, you guys know, I went to visit my dad and, he's on a standard income and I was looking at his account and I was like, man, he spends a lot of money. And when I was up there this weekend, my aunt says something to me. She said, your father gives away more money to people than I can even imagine. Because she's really thrifty. And when I was up there, I was asking my dad, and this is what he said to me, guys. He goes, son, I can't help it. It's what God is telling me to do to bless people.
Wow.
And I thought that was so good. In other words, you're right, right? So my dad's, he's 80, 85-year-old. Living simple, living in his household. I mean, sorry, his homestead of his youth. Bills are paid, house is paid for. He obviously has to eat and do something, give to the church because I help him do his taxes. And then he gives away so much money because he's not spending the money on himself. So I think to your point, Joe, can you be trusted? I do believe God shines when you are blessing other people with your money. And in particular, God gets the credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just think that's part of the master plan. And I think it's a beautiful thing. So, I think it's a key point.
Praise God for your father's generous heart.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Let me give him my Cash App, Russ. Yes. I mean, he's that generous.
Right. Oh gosh!
Yeah. But serious, but
actually, yeah, that that's serious. Real.
Yeah, he said I was serious. Serious.
but
in terms of being trusted, we have to. We also want to be in a position where we know where our money goes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. we basically, our money has to have a GPS, a Waze.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we could track every dollar.
Yeah.
And when we track every dollar, we could probably find some areas where our money doesn't have to go down that street. Right. We could save here. We could save there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, that's critical, man. Knowing where your money is going, knowing where what you're spending on, because a lot of times, especially if you are an ATM card user, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, when I remember when I was a young man using the ATM. Man, I paid more in ATM fees, overdraft fees than I had money. So I was making up a month's worth of overdraft fees before I could even start paying any bills. It was ridiculous. But having a budget is so critical to understanding where your money is going. And that's another principle that I didn't understand until later in life. Having a solid budget and working from that budget. And it really helps you to see where every dollar is going. And Russ, this is your avenue, brother. I just drove up and I pulled to the side and I'm gonna let you run with this one.
Yeah, no, that's so funny. You guys know the story when I used to have a credit counseling company and I never forget it. A woman came into the office, husband and her, they were making $250,000 a year and could not budget and figure out where their money was going. And I sat down with them, did a budget, and I've been doing budgets for years. And I remember, you know, to your point, Joe, once that budget was laid out and I saw where the money was going, and we found the hole, and you know, the rest is history. But she was amazed. I remember she sat and looked at me like, wow, I've never done that. And you know, these are people, they were making good money again, $250,000 a year. But you know, sort of sum it up, they were living on a $295,000 or $300,000 a year budget. And
right.
You know, we all know that, but it's all relative. And I dare say that they didn't have a budget, because I helped them through the budget, and hopefully they were disciplined enough, which is a key word. You have to be disciplined enough to follow the budget, because once you lay it down, if I'm bringing in $10 and I'm spending 11, then you know you have to cut back somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that the way I was taught was, if you are overspending at that point, you have two options. You either can go out and get another job, make more income, or you can reduce your expenses. And I chose to reduce my expenses.
Right.
It'll pay off. And I believe if you ask for guidance, direction, and certainly, as we said earlier, you know, the scriptures are full of wisdom and tidbits to get you there. But ultimately, asking God for direction on how to budget, how to manage, how to make good decisions, you will get there. And I do believe it starts with the budget. And I think it starts small. I think you, regardless of your situation, you can start small. As I used to always tell my clients, start small, start somewhere, and get moving.
Yeah, our pastor often says, you know, most of us don't have a money problem, we have a management problem.
A money management problem.
Yes, that's right. Right. He does. He's always
and speaking speaking from one who has worked three jobs at one time.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah. I remember when you were out there, boy.
Woo. Hustling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day I'm hustling. But
yeah. Real.
You know how decisions we make can affect our families? Obviously, working like that, I spent a lot of time away from home, and only God kept me to be where I am today. There were often times when I'd be falling asleep driving, and I know if you put a gun in my head, I couldn't tell you how I got from exit 7 to exit 3 on the Beltway.
Right.
And it was only God, because that's just how tired I was with that grind.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
Yeah, man, it's amazing, you know, how God will step in and watch over you when you're out there just trying to make it, just trying to make it. But you definitely have to be in a good relationship to understand that that's who it is that's keeping you going, right?
Absolutely.
That's key. So, we probably are coming up to a point where we will be taking a break. But when we come back for that, I'm going to mention what to do with that, what to do with the dollar. And then I want y'all to chime in on it, because, I have another mentor that I listen to quite often. That's Jim Rohn. May he rest in peace. And he talks about what to do with the dollar. And it changed my life. It really changed my life.
No.
But going back, so now we're talking about the budget, right? Mm. What if, and I don't want to ask the question directly, but what if your significant other doesn't want to pull the money? You know, because a lot of times budgeting, you really have to focus on all the income that's coming in so you can use it wisely, right?
Yes.
So what about that, bro?
Yeah, no, that's a great, great question. So I'm making sure I hear you clearly. You're saying if you're on point, you're on budget, mm-hmm. but your spouse is not on the same point where you're saving and they're spending, what do you do? Is that where you're going down?
That is one point. Yes, that's okay. A huge one. And it could be the wife saves and the male and the husband spends, or the husband saves and the wife spends, or you have two separate bank accounts.
Right.
Both of you are bringing in income, but you're not operating as one, as marriage is designed. So, people will be married, but they won't be married in their finances. And that's
the money's not married.
Money's not married. That's kind of wild. So,
okay.
And I think it was I don't know if it was Petey Green or someone back in the day, but I remember him saying, romance without finance ain't got a chance.
Great point.
Yeah, man. Petey Green. Good Lord.
I know he's going back. Petey
Green.
That's why we call him Big Brother Bill.
That's why we're your Big Triple B, baby.
BQ.
BQ. So with that being said,
yes,
let's get ready to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to talk about, go back to what to do with the dollar and pooling your money to have a solid budget.
Love it.
Leonque Chevette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chevette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe,
Russ,
and yours truly, Boone. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time. All right, we are back. Those ads were tough to get down. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, bro.
We need to get an Advil sponsorship.
By the time it's all over.
Oh,
and
man.
Joe, you need to call the Jim Rohn people and try to get a sponsorship, bro.
Sponsorship.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
So are we rolling?
Or are we the camera's rolling, bro.
Camera's rolling.
You were gonna talk about what to do with the dollar.
We're gonna talk about what to do with a dollar. So this is a principle, man. It was a great principle. And I actually had the opportunity to sit down with my grandson, showing him this, right?
Right.
So it's something that I learned in church when Pastor was talking about tithing and all of that. But mm-hmm. So if you take a dollar, and this is the way that I did it with my grandson. Mm-hmm. So I took 10 dimes and I laid it out to show him what a dollar looked like. And I took 4 quarters and I took 20 nickels and I laid it out on the floor. And so he and I were down and I said, okay, when it comes to every time you get a dollar, you should give 10 cents to church through tithing or to a charity. If you're not a church goer and you don't have that connection, but you should, the first 10 cents of the dollar should go to some form of giving.
Yes.
The next dime should go to savings. So you have 10 cents going to charity, you have 10 cents going into your savings account, and then the next dime you'll use for investing or investing into your business, starting a business or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. And you know, a dime is not a lot, but if you set enough dimes away each time, as we know, it'll grow and it'll give you the opportunity to start something small.
Right.
You know,
right.
For a kid, it could just be going to selling candy or potato chips or selling a service or you know something along that line. But anyway, mm-hmm. you got 10 cents going to charity, tithing, church, 10 cents going to savings, 10 cents going to a business of your mm-hmm. own or investing in another business. And then 70 cents is what you live off of. Mm-hmm. That's your everyday expenses. That's your mortgage, your life. That's your life expenses.
Yeah.
So when you look at that as $1, and I had him lay out, I would take a dime or he would take a dime and set it to the side for the each one. And I showed him what the 70 cents looked like at the end. And by the time we went through the entire process, he had a small amount of money that he was actually giving away. And it was a small amount of money that he was actually putting in the savings. But he had a large amount of money that he was still able to use for his personal spending, right? And okay. and it locked in to say, wow, if you do this on a regular basis, you will gain so much in the end. You will be able to do so much more in your life. So yeah. that's what I taught him. That's what I learned.
No, I'm going to piggy because I think that's a key. What you taught your grandson, my dad taught me indirectly. Mm-hmm. And I will make a public proclamation right now without any question in my mind. Had I not picked up on or actually listened to my father in particular tithing as a teenager, because I know you guys heard the story, when I first started tithing, I had a problem with it because I was trying to figure out, I'm gonna get this money to the church because I don't know what that pastor's spending the money on. And my dad said to me, son, you're not giving to the pastor, you're giving to God. So right. that being said, Joe, giving to him first, and I praise God right now, and I thank God for that principle, or at least for the limited wisdom I had at that moment as a teenager to tithing, because I have been tithing since I was a teenager, not consistently every time, but the principle's always been there. I'm obviously a much better tither now that I'm more mature. That being said, there's no way in the world you can tell me that the level of success that I have achieved would have been possible without tithing. I'm convinced that it wouldn't happen. Again, that's my story. That's my life.
Yeah.
And there's no way in the world you can tell me anything differently. I have seen some of my friends, and not comparing necessarily, but I've watched some who have not practiced the same principle, and I have seen a different level of financial success. And I'm not, hear me clearly, I'm not saying only because I'm tithing, because we're talking about, I go down the list of grace, forgiveness, the things that God has, forgive me some of the bad decisions I have made, but yet he has still blessed me. And I'm drawn to the scripture, which, and I should have it right off the top of my head, but I don't know it by heart, but God talks about testing him. Is
prove true. Me now.
Prove
there,
me.
There you go.
That's Malachi.
Malachi.
Thank you. Thank yes, you. Sir. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate that. That's a key principle. And I'm just glad that I, like you said, Joe, you're teaching your grandson that. I'm glad my dad taught me that principle early and I tapped into it, because I think it is in my opinion, a key component to financial success.
Yeah.
Say, Russ, you were talking about how your father said that you're not giving to the preacher, to the pastor, you're giving to God.
Right.
And that reminds me of a cartoon. And the child said, Yeah, Dad, but God's not driving that Bentley. But anyway, it's time for our one stat. you know, yeah. Every episode we have to give you some stats, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to play statistician today.
Okay.
A Gallup poll found that 32% of Americans have a household budget and only 30% have long-term financial goals. And another study shows that the average American spends less than 4.5 hours a year with scheduled time on their calendar for finances.
Wow. Man, scary. That's scary because, Joe, what you said before the break, and we were talking about families with separate finances, husband and wife, separate bank accounts. And yeah. It's so amazing that I see so many people doing that, especially when I was a financial advisor. I was amazed at how many people did that and did not even realize how they were handicapping themselves, because that's certainly not one of God's principles. My personal belief is that you have a family budget where both people contribute to, and then you can have separate accounts that address each other's separate things you want to spend money on. But to have two separate and never, you know, I'll pay like that. That's out of order. And I think that without being judgmental, I'm just saying it's out of order. And I know people say, hey, it works for them, but I think that's out of order. And I think you're not shooting yourself in the foot. Well, you are. You're shooting yourself in the foot to some degree, because there's so much power behind unity and cohesiveness, certainly under God's direction and God's wisdom.
I totally agree with it being out of order, because if we're following God's principles when it comes to marriage and it comes to if you're becoming one,
right,
in marriage, then that means that everything that you own and she owns becomes one. It's one pot.
Yeah.
And then it gives you so much of an advantage over everything that you have that's coming against you. When two are together and you're working together solidly, that's something that Kim and I have been doing for years now. Mm-hmm. That once as soon as we got married, we got a joint account and all of our money went into that account. And so, and from there, you know, we pay the mortgage, the bills, whatever, and then whatever expenses or fun that we want to have is still generates out of our both of us saying that this is something that we want to do. And it has really made a difference in our financial health over the last, we've been married 15 years now, 16, I think, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So before, as I mentioned, not tithing, living paycheck to paycheck. Since I started tithing and following God's principles, man, we have been debt free and got back into debt.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Yes.
So, man, it's been an amazing journey.
Man, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
But one of the things, going back to Malachi, right? That's the last. For those of you who wants to look for it, it's the last book of the Old Testament. And God specifically says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Try me now on this.
There it is.
I will open the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
And pour blessings down upon you that you can't even have room enough to receive.
I love it.
Good gracious.
Just try me. Just try.
That's all he said.
Just try me. That's what I love about it. He's not forcing you. Boom. You used to always say God is a gentleman. I love the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I love that line you used to speak to my spirit, because that's proof of right there, Joe. Just try me. God doesn't say, that's the thing I used to love about tithing. God doesn't say, nowhere in the Bible does it say, you got to give me 10%. You got to give God 10%. No. Nowhere in the scripture is that forced or, put upon us in that motion. Because as you said, Boone, God is a gentleman. He just, try me, just try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that God deals with me is, if you, right now I'm in a posture where tithing and also giving offerings, that's non-negotiable. And
wow.
I praise God for that.
Sure.
But there was a time when I said, you know, God understands. You know, he understands. And then I noticed stuff started breaking down.
Come on, Doc.
Come
on, big brother.
So basically it was like, you can pay me now.
Right.
Pay me later.
Or you can pay me later. Yes, sir.
And I, you know, I was like, man, the money that I didn't tithe went into car repairs.
Man. Talk about it.
It started breaking down.
Talk about it.
Preach.
And I was like, now what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
Right.
And so when I went back to doing the right thing, things started changing.
Yeah.
But for a moment I was in a season where it was like, you know, God knows my heart.
Yeah, yeah. He does. So, you know, one of the things that I thought about as well, or it came to mind, was about, you know, you're at work and you're doing your 9 to 5 or your 10 to 12, whatever you do, 7 to 11, I don't know. But you just can't get a raise or you can't get a promotion. And you're like, man, what am I doing? What, you know, why are things not working out for me? So there could be many reasons, mm-hmm. but I would really, like, one of the things is, you know, you can go and have a heart-to-heart conversation with your manager, say, hey, man, what's going on? You know, what do you need from me to be better at what or to meet your expectations? And then the other thing is you need to have a heart-to-heart with God about it, because it may be something just as simple as not following the principles that God gave you about your finances. So if he can't trust you with what he's already given you, why is he going to give you anything more? Man. So you could just frivolously spend
and
waste it. You know, there's a reason why so many non-believers are so successfully financially. And it all boils down to them following the principles. And so God can give them more because they invest in people. So even though they're not connected with God, they're still using the principles that God has laid out. And so he's like, well,
that's deep.
Nothing else. I can trust them with this. Wow. I can trust them with a billion because I know
that's a word right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a word right there, sir.
But you know, you use the term invest. I mean, God invest in us, and he wants a return on his money.
He wants a return. Yes. Invest in return, because you know, and otherwise you're just throwing money away.
Throwing money away,
man.
Because the one thing my grandfather used to always say, you know, he's a preacher, and he said, ain't nobody taking money with him. He goes, every funeral I've been to, I didn't see no car, no house going into that grave. He told me.
No Brinks truck.
You ain't bringing nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, they used to say, I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse.
That's right. Yeah, that's the line.
That's right.
That is.
So true. Let's wrap this thing up. Put a bow around it.
Yes.
Call to action. Let's admonish people to, if you haven't already, to create a budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk with your significant other about your finances, pool your money together. And if needed, grab a secondary income, you know, to pay off some debts. Even start a business. If you've got that entrepreneurial itch, start a business.
Yes,
absolutely.
And if you need help with that, I'm sure the folks at Elite Conversations would be more than happy to help you.
Yes,
absolutely.
Or so email us. How do they contact us at Inside the Armor?
So contact us at info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. For the benefit of our Canadian audience, it's info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. That's going to do it for another episode of Inside the Armor. Thanks for pulling up to the table with us.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.